is Kristen Cody. I don't think I've introduced any of these girls. Did I? Kristen is from Millersville. Her husband, Mark, I have known since he was a little kid. And he's a big kid. And he's the headmaster of Lancaster County Christian School. A wonderful young man of God. I don't know if you're going to tell this or not, but he just finished his doctorate. Are you going to tell that?
I forgot about that.
I didn't, because when I got the word about it, I rejoiced. So, yeah.
Thank you. Well, I have to go last after those two. I'm very honored to be in company with Kirsten.
Stay really close to the mic.
Honored to be in company with Kirsten and Teresa. Just very humbled. Kirsten, I'm 43, so. So my husband, Mark, and I have been married 15 and a half years. He at first was at Living Word Academy, is now Lancaster County Christian School. So I'm grateful to see a couple moms here of some of the students he had. So it's great to see you guys again. Our story started 6 years ago, over 6 years ago, where we were told halfway through our third pregnancy, after having two boys, who are now 8 and 7, Caleb and Jacob, that our little girl had a terminal brain deformity called anencephaly, which meant her brain was forming outside her head. So even if there was something they could do to get it inside her head, it was deformed and would not sustain her life. There she is. I'm grateful to be able to talk about her. Everybody loves talking about their kids. So thanks, Ruth, for allowing me to talk about my daughter. We were shocked, as I was healthy, never did drugs, you know, all those things that should make your life perfect, that you don't do anything wrong. But we now realize what a gift that God allowed us to have in Victoria Grace. And the pregnancy seemed to be going like the others, so that's why we were shocked with this news. We were told that she would live only minutes to hours if she even made it to a full-term birth. And, of course, terminating the pregnancy was presented as an option, but our faith and principles prevented us from making that choice. Although at that moment, when you're told this news that you were not expecting and a truck just ran over you, you can understand the panic and the nightmare that you want to end. To be with a lot of women, it just stirs up the tears. I'm not usually a crying person, but but we got past that feeling, and even just desiring a miscarriage, that, you know, God would just take her. We, of course, would not take her life, but we felt, a few days later, we felt peace, and we just wanted to hold on to her as long as we could. So she made it full term, and she was born C-section, my third C-section, on February 28th, 2008. So she would have been 6 this year. And she was held by our family 24/7. She was not put down at all. We were in the hospital about 4 or 5 days, and she was doing okay. I mean, there just wasn't anything else to do, so we went home. So we actually got to take her home. And she lived into her 6th day and died on March 4th, 2008. And our church, our family, and friends walked through this time with us and continue to do so. She's still part of our family. We then, a year later, had a little girl, Rachel, Rachel Elizabeth, and she sees the pictures of Victoria around our house, and she can't get it in her head that Victoria is older than her. And her brothers keep emphatically telling her that, and then they get in a big argument. It's kind of funny, but of course she doesn't understand, and we don't know how that works in heaven, if children grow up in heaven or how that is, but we know we will know her when we get there. So in her obituary in the newspaper, we set up a memorial fund in her name to provide some type of medical assistance or a surgery for a child in Mexico or Peru, where our church had gone on missions trips. And we thought, well, we could at least, you know, but then it was around, total we collected around $1,200. You know, people were very generous with that. So we thought, well, that would be nice, you know, redeeming thing to happen, to just help a child or two be able to live or be more comfortable if they had some ailment they needed help with. So, but that summer, my husband Mark and I went to, just Mark this time, went on a mission trip to Pacaupa, Peru. And so that was the summer of 2008. And learned of the Shipibo Indians who had come out of the deep jungle and formed a village. And in that first year, several of the children in the village had died due to preventable diseases like diarrhea and things like that, that we just take for granted. We can go to CVS and pick up medication, Tylenol even, and take care of simple illnesses. Through Samuel Ramirez, who's pastor of the Lamb of God Church, a Shipibo church, we began to send some of the funds to provide those simple medicines to children in the village. So Victoria's Little Lambs Fund was born out of her memorial fund. So there he's holding her funeral program. That was actually this past summer. Wonderful man of God, just a beautiful family. Coincidentally, his granddaughter, Chloe, who's in the next picture, was born the same day as Victoria. So she herself at the time was ill, but she's doing fine. She got some medicine, and she's doing fine. So we have been to Peru 3 times and have seen her. And this past summer we went, and that's Rachel, our daughter. So that's her Peruvian sister, Chloe. And that picture hangs in Rachel's room, too. So it's really neat to have a spiritual daughter here that we can see grow up. When we visited the church in 2010 was our first trip. Rachel was a year old. The boys were almost 4 and 5. They asked all the children that had been helped by the fund to raise their hands. And hopefully this picture will work. Oh, yeah, there they are. And about 50 hands went up in this little, small little open-air church there in the village. And they all cheered. And they kind of look at us, and we come like, Mark and Kristen, you know. And we represent this fund, but we really emphasize it's so many people that give to this fund, and it's not us. It's just so many people, and that blesses them to know that there's people here that just love and care for them and continue the fund. You know, every time Mark speaks somewhere or through his classes, he teaches Bible at LCCS, people just hear about it and give to it, and it just amazes us the sources that it continues to grow. We calculated in the past few years that at least 2,000, much more than that by now, I think, 2,000 instances of administering a medicine. So, like, one child may have gotten several times, but it's been at least 2,000 instances of receiving some medicine. And it just doesn't always dawn on me. I know it. But just the knowing that there's moms there that did not have to go through what I went through because of these simple things that don't cost much, that they don't have to go through the grief that we went through. Pastor Samuel also sends out 14 missionaries through a Peruvian missions organization called MENAP to other remote areas in the Amazon jungle, where they also distribute medicines while sharing the gospel, so it's a real tool. In 2011, you can go to the next picture, the fund expanded to Ethiopia as Mark's sister Rebecca and her husband Nate traveled there to adopt 2 children. They just last year adopted their third, had a natural child a couple months ago, and now they're on the list for another child from Ethiopia. But a couple from actually Lancaster, Jerry and Christy Shannon, run a daycare there called Embracing Hope Ethiopia for very poor children, so that their mothers, who are all single moms, because the husbands just leave, and so they're essentially widows, and so that their moms can work and that they can keep their children. Otherwise, they have to give them up. So currently, it's really grown. It's doubled in size. They have a small kindergarten there now, and they care for about 122 kids. And they get medicines, too. You know, they can take a whole group of kids to the doctor, come back with prescriptions for, like, $50. So it's just amazing how far the money can go. Then in 2013, the fund was expanded to a remote area in the mountains of northwestern Mexico in a Huichol village through an indigenous pastor, Domingo, that our church, Zion Church of Millersville, has supported for several years. As he reaches out to the community there, the medicines are a tool he uses to evangelize. At one point, their community had threatened to drive him out because they were really afraid, as he was evangelizing, he was going to strip them of their Huichol heritage and their customs, and that was not his intent, and he's assured him of that. But the one thing that they had a big community meeting, and they voted that he could stay was because he was bringing these medicines and helping the community. So he is there. So those are some of the kids getting medicines in Mexico. Through Jerry Shannon, we also learned of another pastor and his wife, Paul and Kristen Hoffman, who are in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, and they run a home called Judah Key, Home for Precious Little Ones, after Kristen's nephew who had passed away at stillbirth. And this home is for severely medically needy children, who would be in a NICU if they were here. But their families have either abandoned them or they don't have the means to take care of them, the equipment, like breathing machines and things like that. So Judah Key and the house moms there nurse the children back to health, and they're either returned to their families or they're adopted. So we've begun supporting that work as well this year. So that's just the front of their brochure. I just let it give you some visual for that, but those are the moms that take care of the kids. So that's just a real blessed ministry. In this past spring, March 2013, we also began providing a medical scholarship to a bright young Peruvian woman we met in 2011 when our family was in Peru, Tiffany, and she's in the middle there. As her desire is to be a medical missionary to children. And she's just an outgoing, bright, energetic, motivated young lady who comes from a broken home, a non-Christian home. But she went to some college, and this was her dream. And she couldn't believe how God brought us together to fulfill her dream. And so medical school, she's going to medical school in Bolivia, and the tuition that we committed that we would pay for her tuition out of Victoria's fund is about $150 a month. So I know some of you here work at Hershey Med Center. You know that the doctors here, that's what they pay, what for a notebook or something when they go to their classes. It's a legitimate, very credible accredited school that she's going to. And she hopes to return to Pucallpa, Peru, where we are here this summer. We were able to visit with her. On her break, we flew her up to where we were staying this summer in Pucallpa and spent some really lovely time with her and just being with her and encouraging her, because her first semester was a little rough. She had a lot of attacks. She was in a motorcycle accident with a friend, and then the person that caused the accident, which was not her friend, was trying to sue them and all this stuff. And she had a lot of illness. And but this summer we were able to be with her, and this past semester she did really well. It just went a lot smoother. And she's, you think, oh, Peru, Bolivia, it's not that big a difference, but she moved to another country to go to school, and so the adjustment of her going there. One need that she just told us about a few days ago, she had someone sponsoring her this past year for her room and board and living expenses. We hadn't made that a part of our support of her. She had that, and this person just told her that they can't do it anymore. So she goes back to school in February, and she's just really praying about what to do about that. And we're praying, too. We just want the Lord's best in who he wants to fulfill that need. We don't want her to have to work and sacrifice her studies. You know, we want her to be able to fully be in her studies and not have to worry about if she's going to eat and those kind of things. So she said her mom can do a little bit, but like I said, her mom's just supporting herself and her brother in Lima, Peru. She's really trusting God. She has true faith of how he's provided for her thus far. We know that it's just another setback to deter her. It just proves that God is going to do great things through her life. So we can expect some challenges along the way to thwart that. So our family traveled to Peru in 2010, like I said, and then 2011. And this past summer, we were there for 6 weeks. And in being reunited with our Shipibo friends, they were excited to tell us that they had acquired some land, and Pastor Samuel's final vision for his life is to see this land developed for the families in those remote areas of the jungle that are being affected by a lot of flooding and disease, and bring them inland. So they humbly asked our permission to name the village Victoria Gracia. So there we are with the Ramirez family standing in Victoria Gracia. And he pointed out to us where they want to build a school, a church, and a cancha, which is a soccer field, which of course you have to have there. And we were just blown away, you know. And all they asked is that we send some medical funds to this village, too. We're like, see? You know, I don't know much Spanish, but we're learning. We're trying to learn. We were just really, really humbled by that. We sent the money for a well so they can start building. They needed water to start building. So through Victoria's Fund, we sent the money for a well, realizing the purpose of her fund is to keep people well and healthy, and having this new land, bringing the people in, that, you know, we can prevent some of these diseases before they start, not just treat them. So the next picture shows some of the people that are, oh, that might not come up. We were having trouble with that earlier. If we let it sit there for a second. But it's a picture of some of the people that are going to be living there. And they hope to ultimately have about 500 people that will be moving into there eventually. So at least you got to see Victoria Gracia. And the last thing I want to say is, as we return to the U.S. this summer after being in Peru for half of the summer, we continue to put our lives in God's hands, and just we really felt something stirring. We didn't know what, but Mark attended the men's retreat in the fall, and God started to put that vision into focus. And so now we are in the process. I can't believe I'm saying this, but we are applying to be missionaries with Kids Alive International and moving our family to Peru. So we hope to go to language school at the end of summer, beginning of fall, and for 4 to 6 months, and then move to, which would be in a mountain area of Peru, and then move to Pacalpa with Kids Alive and be in the community. We joked with Pastor Samuel about keeping a little plot, because they have it all written out, the plots of where everyone's home is going to be, to put our names in there, but it's not something our American bodies could, that we couldn't live there, but we will be 10 or 15 minutes from Victoria Gracia, and just involved in the community there, and just see what God has in this next season. My husband, of course, just finishing his doctorate, he has felt that a doctor is for the sick, and so God has just really been stirring in his heart to go help the sick. And not really, we're not medically trained at all by any means, but he is trained in pastoral ministry and teaching, and his love is teaching the Bible. And they don't have retreats and things like that for the pastors and people there. So he would like to take his doctorate to Peru and be able to encourage and train pastors and missionary staff there, and children, Kids Alive works with vulnerable children and their families all over the world. So we'll work with some logistics with short-term mission teams that come, and hospitality, and I'm a logistical, organizational person, so I can help with office-type work and whatever God has for us. And we're grateful to be able to have this opportunity, and our kids are excited and embracing it. And the last picture was a picture of our whole family, which we don't have, but I have it in my wallet if you want to come see our pictures. And I also have... it happens so fast, we need to update this brochure, but this tells about, I don't have one for everybody, but if you'd like more information about supporting Victoria's Fund, this has how it originated. There's a picture of Chloe when she was a little younger, but it has that information on it. But in this next venture, we'll have to really update our family story with that. We're working on getting a website up about Victoria's Fund, which will still always be run through our church, and then we'll have some blogs about our support, which will be through Kids Alive. So anyway, thank you for your support and love, and pray for us.
Okay, that was all new to me about them moving to Peru. Wayne spent some wonderful times in the jungle of Peru. If he's not too old, he'll come visit you. I said he will come visit you.
Ladies,
look at that picture right there. That's the seed. That little precious Victoria Grace is the seed that has been sown to bring forth all that she's been sharing with us. The lives of children saved, the diseases wiped out in kids, things that medicines can do, hearts. I mean, it's going to be so huge. God didn't do what he did for Kristen and Mark. Even in this dark time of their lives, he didn't give them a treasure just to keep.